We have a special opportunity here from a guest speaker. His name is Sam Hinken. Sam, I want to invite you up here. Sam is a Vanderbilt grad, and he also went to Southern Seminary down here in Louisville. He right now he lives in E-Town with his wife, three kids, and then grandchild. And he was also served in the Marines for 10 years. And he's director of operations at Chick-fil-A right now. And so one thing we can be sure is that it will be his pleasure to bring the word today.
Let me guarantee to that.
Let's just pray for Sam just briefly. Father, thank you so much for bringing Sam here. I just ask that you would anoint him, that you would warm our hearts with your love. Pour that out all over us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bronson. It was a delight to get to know him this morning. We got to spend some time together. Just so that you are aware, Tony and I are not great friends. I have never personally met your pastor. And for some of you, it'd be like, oh, what a great loss. And for others, you're like, well, congratulations. I wish I could say that same thing. But we have a mutual friend, Rob Summerall, who's the pastor of the church that I attend in Elizabethtown. They went to seminary together, and so that's how we made the connection, and that's why I'm in front of you this morning. And I was encouraged to speak with your pastor several weeks ago when he invited me to come and share with you this morning, and he said that you would be in this emphasis on who's your one, an evangelistic emphasis, and I know that you're already a few weeks into this. Thinking about how the Lord would use you to reach out to just that one person. And oftentimes this subject can become very overwhelming to us. So I'm going to start off this morning with what I hope is not a controversial assertion, and that is that the mission of the church is to make disciples. Okay, I think that the mission of any church, Ballardsville is no exception to this, is that the reason you exist is so that people might be brought not merely to make a decision for Christ, but that they might give their lives to Christ. And what that means is that they walk and follow Jesus Christ. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ. So that is why you are all gathered here today. That's why you have this beautiful building. You sing these wonderful songs and you get togethers because you want to make disciples for the glory of God. But I'm going to give you another, what I hope will also be a not a controversial assertion, is that if someone is going to follow Jesus, they have to be invited to follow Him. At some point in all of our lives, if you are right now here a Christ follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, at some point, if I go back in your history, I'm going to find a point where somebody, a pastor, a mom, a dad, a brother, sister, a Sunday school teacher, a friend at work said, hey, you need to follow Jesus. It would be much better for you to do this. And so what you are doing here, Ballardsville, is that you are saying, listen, we are a group of people who get together to follow hard after Jesus Christ because we are disciples of Jesus. And we invite you to come and learn what that means alongside of us. Come and grow in following Jesus Christ with us. We're not a club. We're not just a gathering of people who have a common kind of interest. We are followers of the same person. And I want us this morning, this is my objective and my prayer, is that wherever you are, the Lord will make you better at inviting people to follow Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of fear in this area, amen? And I don't just say this for, you common people sitting in the pews. I'm talking about those of us, the professional class. You might be shocked to know that even Billy Graham, when asked about it, hey, do you ever get nervous, Billy? It's like every time. Billy Graham, who preached to millions of people, literally, you'd think at a certain point he'd be like, listen, I can do this in my sleep. I never get nervous about this, inviting someone to follow Jesus Christ. Some of you know that some of the hardest thing for you to do is to step out in faith and talk to somebody about following Jesus Christ. And whenever this subject is brought up, whenever the Word of God is preached, whenever the truth of God is communicated, Satan is always at work to try to steal that Word. And he is at work this morning. And you need to understand that. And what he wants you to do is to think, well, this situation and this subject is too big for me. It doesn't apply to me. I'm never going to get to where, well, Sam is, to where Tony is, where Bronson, where the professionals are. And so I can't get there. Well, you know what, brother, sister? Maybe you won't ever be at that place. Maybe the Lord's not called you to be the greatest evangelist in the world. But that's not my objective this morning. My objective is this, and hopefully you'll help cooperate with me in this. My objective is to just Can you take one step? We're kind of big on the one here, the one person. I want you to think about another one, just one step. One step of faithfulness from wherever you are right now, not to where you're Billy Graham level, but just like, you know what, Lord, are you at least open, Ballardsville, to say, wherever I am right now, whatever my comfort level is with sharing with my neighbor, with my brother, with my sister, for some of you it's sharing with your husband or your wife. Wherever you are in your comfort level, say, Lord God, I am open right now. I am laying myself at your feet to say, just help me to make the next one step closer in my faithfulness to Christ. Don't let Satan go, well, if you're not willing to bite off the whole enchilada, then don't even bother. Just be willing to take the next step. It's worth working through our fear in this area because there's nothing better than following Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that's an amenable thing. There is nothing better. For all the blessings that the Lord has given me in my life, there is nothing better than knowing Him and following Him and knowing that I get to spend an eternity with Him. And it is awesome to help someone find their way into beginning to follow Jesus Christ. And if you have never known that thrill and you have never known that joy, then Lord God, let this be a prayer before you this morning that you would move each person here who knows you to get closer to inviting someone and knowing the joy of seeing someone come to follow Jesus Christ. You can do this. It is not for professionals. And that's why we're going to be looking at a guy who was not a professional, Philip. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn them to Acts chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at a little bitty story that is in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The big superstars, Peter, James, John, and then of course the Apostle Paul. Those guys that are spreading the faith. But we're not going to be talking about any of those guys this morning. We're going to talk about this one guy that if I were to ask you, hey, I want you to give me the top 20 Bible characters that you know, admire, or even think about in the Bible, and you'd rattle them off. I suspect that probably none of you, if I were to say, I'm going to give you a sheet of paper, give me your top 20 Bible characters, probably none of you would put Philip in there. Now, if I told you, oh, Philip, you go, oh, yeah, I heard about him. He's in there a little bit, but he's not a superstar. But God uses him in this account that we're going to read this morning to invite one guy to follow Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 8, if we pick up in verse 26, we read this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way, rejoicing. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is the story, this is the account of God leading Philip to one particular person, this Ethiopian who was a servant of the Ethiopian queen. And he was leading him to this guy in order to help him begin to follow Jesus Christ. So what I want us to see this morning is what we need to understand, what God is revealing to us in His Word that we need to understand, need to let shape us if we are going to find ourselves being more and more capable in the area of inviting people. What's going to help me make that next step toward actually inviting, being more faithful to invite people to follow Jesus Christ? What do we need to see? And then what will we need? The first thing is this, all right? And we're gonna see this. Two broad kind of big categories this morning. Something that we need and then something that we will see when we begin to walk out in faith in inviting people to follow Christ. The first thing, what do we need? What does this account reveal to us if we're going to be more effective in inviting people to follow Jesus Christ? What do we need? We need to listen when God leads. You need to listen when God leads you. We need to have an openness to God's Spirit leading us to one person. And when God says go, we need to be willing to go. Now, God will lead you to people. God will lead you to people. If you think that He is not in the business of leading you to someone, then you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, because every follower of Jesus Christ is called to invite others to follow Jesus Christ. And what we see here is that the Lord is working these things together to bring Philip to the place where he can invite this guy to follow Jesus Christ. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise up and go. Now, I know maybe some of you are saying, well, listen, the angel of the Lord doesn't talk to me, but the Lord moves in many ways. He gives us impressions. He lays things on our hearts. And in fact, here's the thing. The angel of the Lord is speaking in your church through this right now. This emphasis that the Lord has laid upon the leaders and the pastor of your church to say, we need to go out. This is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you, go and find your one. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, go, rise up. And then in verse 29 it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. God is making things known to Philip. Our God is not silent. He is always speaking. And I'm not talking about like in this mystical sort of a way, but God is going to make Himself known. But you know, you and I, we aren't always listening. We're kind of like children sometimes. It's not that God isn't leading. It's not that He's not sending us signals. It's just that our ears are not open to going to the person that He wants us to go to. That's what this whole season in your church is about, is saying, Lord God, I need my ears to be opened. And I need my eyes to be opened before me, because I'm convinced You are leading each one of us to share. Our God is not a silent God. And so it might be helpful for us right now to just take just a brief moment and just kind of give a breath prayer and saying, Lord God, I am willing and I am open to going to whoever it is You want to lead me to. Lord God, I am willing and I am open to go to whoever it is that You are leading me to. But there's a question here. How do I know if this leading is from the Lord? We all have all kinds of impulses and inclinations. How do I know if it's from the Lord or not? How do you get good at hearing God? How do you get good at discerning His will? And I want to give you a couple of things for that. The first is this. If you're going to get good at hearing, I've said, listen, you've got to listen when God leads you. Then how am I going to know that He's going to lead me? Then you've got to tune yourself this way. You need less of your will. I need less of my will. If you're going to hear God well, you need less of me. I said God is a speaking God, but here's the thing. I guess more appropriate to say that our God is a whispering God. Sometimes, you may remember this story. There's a story of the prophet Elijah and God, you know, there's an earthquake and there's a wind, but we're told, hey, God wasn't in the wind and God wasn't in the earthquake and God wasn't in the fire. And then after all of this big light show, God speaks and we're told a still, small voice. And that's where He was. He wasn't in all this big stuff, but He was in the small thing. He was in the gentle whisper. Now, if our God is a whispering God, then you know what you have to do sometimes if someone's not speaking very loudly and you've got a big stereo going? What do you have to do, church? You got to turn the stereo down. Do you realize your life has a stereo? It's got a couple of knobs on it that turns the noise up in your life. And so for some of you, well, the Lord never leads me anywhere. Well, it's no wonder. It's no wonder the sound is blasting all the time. And that sound is my will. And there are two knobs on your life stereo called my plans and my preferences. Here's the deal. There's no life where you don't plan, and there's no life where you have no preferences. We just do. We're humans. We have to have plans and preferences. God's not saying you can't have plans and preferences. He's just saying, you know what? Those dials need to be turned down so that they're not so noisy that you don't hear me when I come and begin to lead you. This season in your church is like, hey, guys, let's turn the noise down a little bit so that maybe we hear what God is trying to say to us. They don't need to be turned up so high. And what this practically means, because you get, well, man, I don't know where those knobs are, right? Because you don't see them. But how do I know if they're turned up too high? It's this. How good are you at letting God mess up your plans? Have you ever asked yourself this? And this is not me judging you, okay? This is a mutual counseling session. I'm here together with you. Anyone have problems with traffic? Does the Lord sanctify you in traffic? Does He really stretch you in traffic? He stretches me in traffic. Okay? Because I have plans, and they do not involve people who don't know how to drive. Amen? They don't involve people who don't understand rules of the road. They don't involve traffic accidents. They don't involve all kinds of construction and all this kind of stuff. I have plans, and I have preferences. And God reveals those to me oftentimes when I'm driving along, and I get stopped. And then I get really angry and I get upset. How easy is it for you to let God upset your plans? There's that one very searching verse, thank God in all circumstances. All right? Which is very, very hard to do. Well, those are just indications that maybe the knobs on my stereo are up way too high. You see, sometimes God can use our circumstances to teach us that it is okay for us not to get our way. It's okay for things to not go the way we want them to go. God's plans can still work when your plans get interrupted. God's plans can still work when your plans get interrupted. In fact, I don't know why He likes to do that, but oftentimes that's when He works, is when He interrupts your plans to change them with His plans. James 4 says this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You know what we see in Philip? Is we see a guy who is ready to let his plans be interrupted. God just says, hey, I want you to get up and I want you to go to this particular place. He is willing to be inconvenienced. Now, many of us don't realize that to go to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, you're like, oh, that doesn't mean anything to me. Okay? But kind of imagine the middle of nowhere. And in fact, Luke tells us it is a desert place. It's not the kind of place where there's a good, nice Starbucks for you to hang out in and soak up the Wi-Fi and the air conditioning while you're waiting for God to kind of reveal why in the world you are there. God tells Philip, you know what I want for you right now? I want you to just get up and go to this little intersection in the middle of nowhere in a desert place and just kind of hang out there for a while. Are you willing to let the Lord send you to the Gaza Road? Child of God, ask ourselves that question. Am I willing to do what Philip is here doing? However it is the Lord reveals that to you, however it is He works His circumstances in your life to say, I need you to go into the middle of nowhere and just sit there for a while. And I will tell you what to do a little bit later. If we are going to listen when God leads, then we have to have less of my will. If Philip needed to have God write everything out for him and it had to be perfectly planned to where he understood the beginning from the end, he never would have gone here and we wouldn't have this story in our Bibles. You have to have less of your will. But the other thing that we have to have if we're going to listen when God leads is we have to have more of God's Word. More of God's Word. You see, if we want to hear the Holy Spirit, then we have to read the book He wrote. We've got to read it, and we've got to let it be the dictating guide of our heart and our lives. Because there are those knobs that kind of need to be turned down in our lives, but there's others that need to be tuned. There's also a tuner on a radio, isn't there, right? And if your knob is not tuned to the right station, that, it doesn't matter all the wonderful music that is going on 106.3. If your knob is not turned to 106.3, you will hear absolutely none of it. But if your heart gets tuned to the right stereo, then all of a sudden you start hearing all this wonderful stuff. You know what tunes your heart? You know what tunes our lives to God's frequency? His Word. You know how we hear Him? It's by getting His Word into our heart and mind and life. If we want to hear the Holy Spirit, we need to read His book. Some of you may be familiar with the phenomenon called sympathetic resonance. It sounds really big. For people that kind of played stringed instruments, you'll understand this. So on a guitar, for instance, there's an E string, right? There's an E string. And that string is tuned to E, the note E. E. Now here's the thing. If I just have that guitar lying down, no one's playing it, no one's doing it, and I just play the note E really loud, you know what's going to happen to that E string? It's going to start vibrating. Because E is being played and it's tuned to E. The same thing is true with our hearts, brothers and sisters. We've got to have them tuned so that when the Word of God is spoken, our hearts begin to flutter. Our hearts begin to sympathetically resonate with what is being said so that we are being tuned to God's will. The regular intake of the Scripture helps to tune our hearts to hear God's leading. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God searches our hearts and it divides our thoughts and intentions, and it moves us forward, and it also allows us to put ourselves in verse 35. Look at verse 35 here. Philip opened his mouth, and he, beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus Christ. So this Ethiopian who's in this chariot, who God just says, "I want you to go out in the middle of this desert place." He goes there, and then lo and behold, there comes this Ethiopian guy who just happens to be reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip just happens to hear that he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And he had done enough work and listened to the Word of God enough and had it enough in his heart and was tuned enough to it that he could say, "You know what? Okay, I can take you from this scripture and lead you to Christ." Many of you are probably in Sunday school or small groups. I don't know exactly what you guys call it this morning. You want to know why you're there? You're there so that you might be equipped to understand God's Word enough so that wherever you are, you can take the next step and say, "You know what, brother? I can explain this and how it gets you to Jesus Christ." That's why you are doing, you know, that's why you come to church Sunday after Sunday. To hear your pastor lead you through the Scriptures. Why? Because you want to know what God has said. So that when He places you in a place where you're at the break table with that friend of yours who you've worked alongside for 10 years who does not know Jesus Christ, he's a good guy, he's a good old boy, he's a fantastic dude, and if he dies tonight, he's going to bust hell wide open. And you are in this church every Sunday being taught from the Word of God, so that when the time comes and it's your Gaza Road moment, you're able to go, "Let me explain to you from the Scripture how you come to follow Jesus Christ. Let me explain to you how this gets you to Jesus Christ." God will use His Word in your life. Ballardsville, let me just plead with you. You need less of your will and you need more of God's Word if you are going to listen when God leads you. So, that's the first thing. That's what we need. But then, what will we see? What will you see? What is the promise of the life that God is calling you to? If you step out and you overcome all the fear that says, "I can't do this, I can't reach out to this person, I can't say this thing to them." What happens if you do reach out? What happens if you do take that next step? You will see a couple of things when you follow where God leads, and that is this. You'll see God working around you. You see, so much had to come together for this Ethiopian to hear about Jesus Christ and for him to start following. So much had to come together. And I want to emphasize this. God working around us. God, you can underline that. God working around us. You will see Him working. Who had told this Ethiopian about the Bible? Oh, we don't know. But you know who did know? God. God brought that together. Why did he happen to go to Jerusalem to worship? I don't know. You know who knows? God. God worked that all together. Why did he just happen to be reading this about Jesus' suffering on the cross in the prophet Isaiah? I don't know. But you know who does know? But the answer is all going to be the same, Ballardsville. I don't want you to feel, okay, it's all going to be the same. God knew that. God's the one working that all together. Why did there just happen to be water in a desert place? If you thought about that, they're in the middle of a desert and they're, hey man, there just happens to be a lake right here. Who put the lake there? God put it there. Did Philip do any of these things? He did none of these things. God was working all of these circumstances together to bring this one guy to follow His Son. And so you and I will see this man in heaven. And you know, kind of use this and print it on your life. Do you realize how much had to come together for you to follow Jesus Christ? It may seem like it was a simple thing, but trust me. I don't know you well, but I can tell you this. It took a lot to get you to follow Jesus. Because there's not a sinner in this world who wants to follow Jesus. Unless God does some miraculous stuff to bring it about. And that's what we see happening here. God working all of these things together. Now, this is just one account that we have in this book, in your Bibles. And I don't want you to go, oh, that's so wonderful. That's so inspiring. The same God that was there doing that for this Ethiopian and for Philip, you know where He is today? Right here. Has He changed? No. So He is still doing this. Child of God, He is still reaching out to save people. He is still working all the circumstances in their lives. He's still bringing the coincidences together to bring people to follow Jesus Christ. He did it then. He's still doing it today. And He will not stop doing it until we see Jesus come with the clouds of heaven. You can guarantee it. He's not taking a vacation from this. God is working circumstances to His purposes, and you and I can have faith in that. And He's ultimately responsible for the whole thing. I know the fear that you have, because I have the same fear, Lord, if I say this, if I reach out, I might mess it up. Trust me, most of the things that happened in this story are not even recorded in this story. God was doing so much work even before Philip even got there. You don't even know what God is working and what He is doing and what He's bringing together in the life of the person that God's been laying on your heart. It's not on you ultimately. And you know what will happen when you step out in faith? You'll see what God is doing. But you won't do. You won't see that unless you do it. Unless you step out. So that's the first thing. You will see God working around you. The other thing is this, and this kind of brings us to our last point, is what we see when we follow, when God leads us to that one person, is we will see God bringing outsiders to join us. Bringing in the outcasts. Some of you know what a eunuch is. You know what that means. Some of you may not exactly know what that means. But to be a eunuch for this man means that he was very privately, very intimately mutilated. Right? Just, I mean, for most guys, right? I don't know when you were, where you were when the first, hey, mommy, what's a eunuch? Dad, what's the eunuch? And then dad said, well, son, let me tell you. And most of us didn't go, cool, that's awesome. We're like, that's horrible. This eunuch is a very privately mutilated person. Now, what you may not understand about that is that because of that physical thing that had been done to him, he could not go into the temple. Now, he could kind of stand on the outside and look, but he couldn't walk into the temple and sing the songs and participate in the sacrifices. He couldn't come to church. In fact, there was a sign up outside the gate that led to the temple back in that day. And it said in very certain terms, you can't come in here if you have these physical deformities, because God is holy and He's perfect, and we can't have any mutilated, messed up people coming into God's presence. You see, physically there was something broken about this Ethiopian. But it was symbolic of a bigger problem that he had. Because his biggest problem was not how he was physically mutilated. His biggest problem was that he was spiritually unworthy. He was unfit for the presence of God. Isn't it horrible to be left out, Ballardsville? Any of you ever had the experience of being picked last to play basketball as a kid? Yeah. Or you find that, you know, your friend had a party and didn't invite you. Or there was a club you tried to get into, but you couldn't get into it. Yeah. You showed up at some place and, you know, there was no place for you. In one way or another, we probably all have some experience with this. Just, I'm outcast. I'm not in the in group. Most of us are traumatized by high school. Why? Because we wanted to be in and we weren't in. We tried. That's why we wore the shoes we did. That's why we did our hair the way we did, so that someone would say, hey, come on in here. You belong with us. Isn't it horrible to be left out? Isn't it horrible to be excluded from the place where you most want to be? Now, you didn't know me back when I was in school. But I wasn't always the wonderful, awesome, handsome person that you see before you. I was a young boy with fire engine red hair, which is never an asset. Had freckles that went on for days. My name, Sam, rhymes with half the English language. And my parents were not wealthy enough to give me clothes that would help me ascend the social ladder. So my earliest experiences with like going to kindergarten and first grade, I mean, I can still remember, and maybe some of you can identify me, I won't ask you to throw any hands up, but I can still remember names that I was called in first grade. Being outside, being excluded. This eunuch, he knew that feeling. He knew what it meant to walk up and go, man, I wish I could go in there. I wish I could sing those songs. I wish I could be the kind of person who could belong there. He knew what that meant. And that's what you need to have, this understanding of who this guy is, so that's what's so remarkable. So he's reading this passage that we read there in Isaiah, and he's reading about how Jesus is humiliated. You know, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before his shearers is silent, he opens not his mouth. And his humiliation, justice was denied. He's being humbled. He's being ground into the dust. He's reading about Jesus suffering humiliation. Jesus was cast out and he was rejected. But he doesn't know who Jesus is. And that's why the eunuch says to Philip, listen, I'm reading this and I feel this guy. But I don't know who he is. Is it the prophet? Is it some other guy? Because I can just tell you, listen, somebody being ground down, somebody being humiliated, somebody being rejected, somebody being despised, I get that. But I don't know who he is. And I don't understand why he's doing this. And that's why blessedly Philip was there to be able to say, hey, you know what? I can imagine Philip saying, hey, why don't we read a little bit further down in Isaiah 53:5, where it says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, the gospel, the good news, is that if we are connected to Jesus Christ through faith, his worthiness, his ability to be in, perfect, accepted, it's transferred from him to us, and our outsideness and our unworthiness and our being rejected, we get to exchange it with him for that. His wounds become our health. His rejection becomes our acceptance. He takes our mockery and He gives us His acceptance. And you need to understand that this is what's working on the heart of this Ethiopian as Philip is expressing this to him and describing to him, this is who this guy is and this is why he's doing this and why he is going through this. And as this is happening, the hope that he might be accepted and brought into the people of God is beginning to swell in the heart of this Ethiopian. And as they just happen to come upon this body of water, the Ethiopian looks and he says, what can prevent me from being baptized in this water? And the blessed answer to that question was, nothing. There wasn't one thing that could keep him from the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ had done for him. You know what baptism is, right? I mean, it's buried with Christ in baptism, raised. That's your initiation, right? That means you're part of the family. That means you belong to God. And he's like, I can belong to God. I can be brought in. And boy, his hope grew. And man, there was nothing. And Philip's like, you know what, brother? There's nothing. Let's get in there. And he came out of that water a new man. That's not just something that happened a couple of thousand years ago, Ballardsville. There are many people who are far from the Lord right now that you and I know. And they need to know this, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can keep them from God. Nothing. His blood is greater than their sin. His blood is greater than their failures. His blood is greater than their past. His blood is greater than their regrets. They need to know that. And when you step out in faith, you will not only begin to see God working around you, you will begin to see God bringing outsiders to join. Amen. And so that's the question I want to ask with you this morning. Because many of you I know have made public professions of faith. And you said, listen, I'm following Jesus Christ. Can I just say this? The first thing is just this. I would never want to preach in front of God's people without giving this one appeal. It may well be that you right now, you feel this Ethiopian because that's you. And you need to follow Jesus Christ. And you'll have that opportunity when the band comes and we sing and there's an opportunity for you to come and just say, listen, this is what the Lord is laying on my heart. I need to follow Christ. I want to be brought into His people. He's laid that upon me. I trust what Jesus has done for me and I want to follow Him. So if that's you, don't assume that you're a Christian. Come talk to the pastor and get that work done with Jesus Christ this morning. But then I want to address the rest of us, like that we are following Christ, right? I mean, you say, listen, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Have you done the thing that your pastors are telling you or asking you to do, right? To think, like, who is your one? Who is that one person that the Lord can use you to reach? And right now, another little breath prayer. Lord God, help me to find one person to invite to follow Jesus Christ. Lord God, right now, please help me to find one person to invite to follow Jesus Christ. In the honesty of your heart, can you right now, can you lift that prayer up to Him? It may be a feeble prayer. Hey, pray it, brother. A feeble prayer is better than no prayer at all. Lord God, help me to find one person that I can invite to follow Jesus Christ. Now I know that you have a table that has cards for you to fill out and put that person's name. And we're asking you to think about that. Who specifically put a name on it? Okay? And as you leave this morning, I'm asking you to do that. So right now, as we do the invitation and the time of decision and time of commitment and response to what the Lord has led us through this morning, If you're under conviction about that, it's not a bad thing. It's like the Lord's wanting to give you this blessing. So don't reject it. Accept it and put your arms around it. He used Philip, just a common guy. He can use you as well. And the commitments that you're making when you put that name down on that, you're not making the commitment. Like, listen, I am responsible for whether or not this person follows Jesus Christ. That's not what you're saying there. You're just saying this. You're saying, you know what? I will pray for this person. I will pray for their lives. I will pray for their heart. I will pray for their sensitivity to the gospel. And you're also saying this, I will share with this person the gospel. It doesn't have to be the big flowery, intro, but I will share the gospel with this person. And then the final thing is this, is that you're saying, I will invite that person to come with me. I will say, hey, we at Ballardsville are following Christ. Come, kind of check out. Just see what it's like. Help. I'll help you. I'll let you see that. And the Lord will help you out with all of that. So those are the commitments. I will pray for this person. I will share with this person. And I will invite this person. The rest of it, praise the Lord, is up to Him. Okay? The rest of it is up to Him. That is all you are saying. When I say all you're saying. Man, that's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. But you know what? Don't forestall the Lord's blessing in your life. Make that commitment. And man, you're going to see the Lord work, and I pray that the Lord will work and bring many outsiders. So that if God wills, and I happen to come and see this church in another year, I'll see a lot of Ethiopians. And we'll have a lot of stories of God's grace. And it'll be because you turned down your stereo a little bit, and you turned up your tuning to God's Word, and you went out in faith. Just join me in prayer. Lord God, we are so grateful to You for this morning, for this opportunity, for the freedom that we have, for the songs we've been able to sing to the praise of Your glory. Lord, I'm grateful for Your Spirit who always goes before us and does what we cannot do. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You have not stopped saving people, that You are not sitting on Your hands, that You have people that You are after, that You are working to bring to You. And Lord, as Your people, we want to be sensitive to that. Lord, I also want to be sensitive to that right here and now in this room. And if there is a young man or a young woman or just a man or woman in this room right now that has this burden to follow Jesus Christ, to be brought into Your people, to forsake his old way or her old way of life and to follow You, Lord, that they would kneel before You, that they would call upon You and ask for Your salvation. But Lord God, we also ask that as we come to this time of just asking the question of You, who is my one? That our hearts would be receptive, Holy Spirit, that You would give Your Word to us. Give us that name. Give us the courage to put it on that card and to say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to share, I'm going to invite. And then to stand back in awe at what You do. You are so wonderful. And we ask all these things in the name of Your Son. Amen.